Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels? They come to me each and every week and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, a light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day, and that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. Today we are celebrating the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And our gospel, well, it's pretty short, but it packs a lot of punch. What do you say? We just quiet our minds and place ourselves in the presence of God. We're going to school, my friend. Question is, are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke. While Jesus was speaking, a woman from the crowd called out and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast at which you nursed." He replied, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." The Gospel of the Lord. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today in the Catholic Church, we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And our gospel is short, just a couple of verses, but you can learn a whole lot in just these few verses. Of course, it's all about Mary, but it's even more about being blessed, which is what I want to talk about today. What does it mean to be a blessed person? And more specifically, how can we become a blessed people? So as we get into it today, I want you to go into your imagination, and I want you to try to imagine that you're in a small plane and you're flying over the wilderness of Alaska. And it's one of those prop planes, you know, commuter planes, maybe 40 people or so. And you're flying over the most incredible, beautiful, pristine wilderness. Mountain peaks, valleys, lakes, rivers. And the trees look like one big green carpet just covering the landscape. And it's breathtaking because, you know, nature really is a wonderful testimony of God. But then you notice that there's a big black storm cloud on the horizon with lightning bolts coming out of it, and you're headed right for it. And you're thinking, well, I guess this is no big deal. These pilots have been flying through this kind of stuff before. They know how to handle it. Soon they come on the intercom and they tell everybody, you better buckle up, put your seatbelts on, and prepare for a bit of turbulence. Next thing you know, you enter that cloud and the rain starts pelting the windows and the plane starts to violently shake up and down. Now you're terrified. You're terrified. And then all of a sudden, your worst nightmare happens. This huge boom, flash of lightning, and a lightning bolt has directly struck the plane, instantly frying all the electronics on board, and everything goes silent. The propellers stop, and all you hear is wind as you start to glide toward Earth. And you're going to die. At least that's what you think. Now, of course, you've always known at some point you were going to die, but you didn't think it was going to be today. So as the carpet of trees are coming closer and closer, now you're in full panic mode. But then somehow, miraculously, the pilot finds a small clearing and he lands the plane. And it's a rough landing, but nobody died. Soon everybody rushes out of the plane. Of course, everybody's afraid it's going to catch on fire, but it doesn't. But the plane has been completely destroyed, and the radio is dead, and there's no opportunity to call for help. So soon the great debate begins. What to do? People start to emerge from the crowd to offer opinions. The first to step out is a brilliant executive. He's a CEO of a large utility company. He's a take charge kind of guy, you know, used to giving directions. And he announces to the crowd, everybody, we just need to, we need to stay put, do nothing, and just wait for a rescue. Soon another man steps forward, and he's real charismatic, you know, kind of like a Tony Robbins kind of guy, a real good talker. But he's highly trained. He's a former Navy SEAL. He knows all about surviving in the wilderness. He's got weapons to hunt. He's like a superhero kind of guy. But then a third person steps forward. And while he does not present himself as remarkable in any way, looks a whole lot like you and I, he says, I know this land. I was born here. My father taught me all about this land. He taught me how to live off the land, and he also taught me the way home. So the debate begins. Who do you follow? Are you going to follow the first guy who says, let's just do nothing, let's stay put and wait to be rescued? Or are you going to follow the second guy, that superhero kind of guy, seems to know everything? Or are you going to follow that third guy who looks a whole lot like you and I but claims to know the way home? Now, I want you to slide this scene to the back burner because we're going to come back to it. While Jesus was speaking, a woman from the crowd called out and said, blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast at which you nursed. He replied, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So this is a bit curious. It seems right away that Jesus is being rather dismissive of his mother. What happened to honor your father and mother? But hold on there, Sparky, not so fast. I mean, let's take a closer look. Because in this case, as is often the case with Scripture, it's a translation issue. And the key word here is rather. He replies, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Now, when we hear that word rather in English, it would seem to suggest, no, not my mother is blessed, but rather these people over here that hear the word of God and act upon it are blessed, right? But if you take a closer look at the original Greek, that's not the case. The original word in Greek for rather is min win. It's a very, very unusual word. We don't see it a whole lot in Scripture. I think four times in all the Gospels. And it does not mean no, but it means and also. So it's not no, not rather, but yes, rather. So what I'm trying to say is what Jesus is really trying to communicate here is, yes, Mary is my mother. Yes, she bore me into the world. And of course, she's blessed for having done so. But she's even more blessed because she heard the word and acted upon it. Get it? So her blessedness is not because she's my mother, but because of her relationship with the word. Because, of course, Mary was not just a hearer of the word, she was a doer of the word. And what exactly is the word that she heard? Well, let's review. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, of course, when we think of angels, our idea of angels are largely formed by religious art, you know, 10 feet tall, sweetest looking people. They're floating in the air. They got big wings and no feet. But there's zero scriptural evidence for this. In fact, every time in the Old Testament when an angel appears, which is translated as literally messengers from God, they look like regular people, which is why the Hebrews warns us that we need to be very careful, because we never know when we're entertaining angels unaware. So, back to Gabriel. He shows up. He says, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." Really? Really? I mean, can you imagine how troubling these words would have been to this young Jewish girl? "I'm going to bear a son? I'm a virgin. How's that going to happen?" And Gabriel responds, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy Son of God." And boom, that's the word. You're going to bring God into the world. I mean, let's just try to put our mind around that. Let that sink in a little bit. Let me try to process what's really going on here. I'm going to bring divinity into humanity. I mean, that sounds amazing, but you know what also sounds like? It sounds very dangerous. How am I going to explain this to Joseph? What is my family going to think about this? What are the neighbors going to say? You know, it's really easy to do the will of God when it's real easy to do the will of God. But what about when it costs you? And let me tell you, my friend, this was going to cost Mary big time. Of course, today, while it's unfortunate, pregnancy out of wedlock is common. 40% in our country of babies born last year were born out of wedlock. But back then, no, not at all. Pregnancy out of wedlock, that was highly scandalous. Mary would have brought not only dishonor on herself, but her entire family. In fact, Mosaic law would have called for her to be dragged out into the public square and stoned to death, something that continues in parts of the world today in what is known as Sharia law. So like I said, this was going to cost Mary big time. And what did she say? "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." In other words, I'm all in. Let your will come to pass in my life. Wow. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just before the break, we were talking about Gabriel, this angel, who's coming to Mary with some very difficult circumstances. Now, speaking of the Blessed Mother, I am keenly aware that Mary has been a great source of controversy for some time, through the centuries and up to this day. There's been a whole lot of misunderstanding and, dare I say, a whole lot of misinformation when it comes to Mary. Even to this day, many will falsely claim that we as Catholics worship Mary as a god. And while I can certainly sympathize and understand how some people might have gotten that impression, particularly with the middle-aged theologians, they seem to be walking close to that line, this is not the case. We do not worship Mary as a god. We venerate Mary, meaning we place her in high esteem and have made her the model of our faith. She is the queen of the saints. Why? Because in the most difficult circumstances of which I just presented, she said yes. She didn't say maybe. She didn't say let me think about it for a while. She didn't say let me talk to my friends. She said yes. What about you? What about me? Like I said, it's real easy to follow the will of God when it's real easy to follow the will of God. I mean, when the sun shines and you're skipping down the sidewalk without a care in the world, Jesus is great, okay? But what happens when it's going to cost you? What happens when it becomes unpopular? What happens when it's going to require a bit of effort, even maybe a bit of pain? What happens then? Well, when it came to Mary, she looked at a nearly impossible situation, a situation that was going to cost her. And she said, okay, let's do this. Let your will be my will. Let it be done according to thy word. Can you imagine what this world would be like if everybody got out of bed in the morning and said, let the will of God come to pass through my life on this day? What a world that would be. So, let's review. Number one, Mary is highly favored. Number two, she hears the word of God. Number three, she does the will of God as she allows the word to make its dwelling in her, and in doing so, brings life to this world. And because of this, she is blessed. Not because she's the earthly mother of Jesus, so it's not her physical DNA, but rather her spiritual DNA as she hears the word of God and does the will of God. Because we are called not to be just hearers, but doers of his word. Which, by the way, you can't do his word if you don't know his word, which is why you need to read your Bible. It will equip you for the battle. Because hear me when I say, my friends, we are at war. And this war is within ourselves. It's a war between the spirit and the flesh. And they both want you real bad. And let me just tell you, the flesh hates the will of God. The flesh hates any rules, any authority that might threaten what it thinks it wants to be happy. The flesh hates any authority that might tell it to do something differently than what it wants to do. Or as Paul put so well in the 8th chapter of Romans, when he wrote, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And isn't peace what we all want? Peace is what we want. You'll never have peace when you're not in the will of the Father. And the mind that is governed by the flesh is hostile to the will of the Father. It does not want to submit to the will of the Father, nor could it even do so if it even wanted to without the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, There's a book called Joshua. Joshua was a prophet. He was the successor to Moses. And in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, there's this great line. It's real famous. You see it on placards all the time. It says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So like I said, it's nice, makes a great bumper sticker. But if you were to take the time to read the story of Joshua, you would understand that the upshot of that statement is that after Joshua told the Israelites they needed to stop worshiping other gods, they needed to start living right, stop living for the flesh and living in the spirit, and return to the God that liberated them from Egypt, they all cried, "Okay, we'll do it. We want to do it. We want to serve the Lord." And you know what Joshua said? He said, "You can't. You can't." Why? Because our God is a holy God. Our God is a jealous God. And he don't want part of you. No, he wants all of you. And he is not going to occupy your heart that is full of rebellion and sin of the flesh. The Holy Spirit can't work with that. So what he's saying, Joshua, in essence, is you can't of your own strength follow God's will. Because without the Spirit, you're spiritually dead. Your DNA is flatlined and you are lost in the wilderness. So what shall we do? Well, it begins with opening up our hearts to allow the Spirit to come dwell in us. Because like I said, without the Spirit, we can't do anything. And this Spirit comes from faith. And faith comes from hearing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and then, most importantly, doing the Word of God. And in doing the Word of God, we find favor and are blessed. Do you see how that works? And remember, you in and of yourself can't do this. Never forget that self-sufficiency does not please God. No one can do the will of God until they first allow the Spirit of God to change their hearts. And the only way that the Spirit of God can change your hearts is if you let it in. And then the Spirit can conquer the flesh. Because remember, the flesh will resist all rule, all authority, in what is known as concupiscence, which is what we're born with. This idea that, you know, given everything evil, I mean, even, you know, evil or good, we are inclined to choose the evil. It's an enmity that is in us. And this is the enmity that we have against a relationship with God who is offering us through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is precisely this enmity that rejected, tortured, and killed Jesus. Despite the miracles, despite the promises. Why? Because it's our nature. And like Joshua told those people oh so long ago, this continues to hold true for us today. Without the Spirit, we can do nothing. You know, I love Charles Stanley. I love that man. Been watching him for years. And one time I was watching him and he said, "You know what? I cannot live the Christian life." I thought, wow, really? That guy? I mean, he's the man. But then he went on to say, "But the Spirit that lives inside of me can." I thought, wow, that's so true. Because you see, my friends, it's not until the Holy Spirit changes your heart. It's not until the Holy Spirit removes the flavor of sin that the flesh dwells in that we can truly live in the Spirit. And as long as you fight that Spirit, guess what? You're lost in the wilderness, much like our friends who crashed in the airplane. Because hear me when I say, the reality of our world is that we have been in a plane crash and we are lost in the wilderness. So who are you going to follow? The guy who says, "Hey, we just need to stay put, do nothing, and wait to be rescued"? You going to follow that guy? Or are you going to follow the latest charismatic, amazing, good talker that seems to have all the answers, highly trained, claims he knows the way? Or are you going to follow the one who looked a whole lot like you and I, who said, "I was born into this world by my Father who has showed me the way home"? Who's it going to be? Who are you going to follow today? My friends, our world has crashed and found itself in the wilderness. The way I see it, we got three choices. Number one, we can just sit around and do nothing, hope that it all works out in the end. Number two, we can follow the latest flash in the pan that seems to be making sense, says he has all the answers. Or number three, we can follow the one who said, "For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth will listen to my voice." My friend, hear me when I say, you belong to that truth. Follow that last man. Open the doors of your heart and let Jesus come live through you today. He will teach you all things. He will lead you out of this present wilderness. He will light your path. He will guard your steps so your feet will not stumble. And in the end, he will bring you home. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.